This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of This Week in ITFC History. My name is David Diamond, and along with a renegade statman, we'll be looking back at the names, the games, the wins and the draws, and the losses from This Week in ITFC History. And Stat, well, first of all, how are you, mate?
Fine. I've just about got over the fact that you introduced me as Statwan. Is that sounds like some
say
sort of Statwan?
Yeah, I love that. Gokwan's brother.
Oh, I didn't know that. But which reminds me, before we go in, now I'm great, thank you. But secondly, we had somebody was asking about two players, whether they were related on Twitter, and I copied you in, and you rightly pointed out that he was his great uncle. Who were the players? Can you remember?
I can't. But what I do remember was we had much fun on the last or up in the last episode or the one before about going through teams' names and the names that follow on the team sheet. And yeah. I thought we had Baxter Jefferson, didn't we? But there was a beauty in the under-18s game, wasn't it, that Daryl Jones found. Was it Viral Missouri or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. Viral Missouri. You wouldn't want to catch that.
Oh, dear. Honestly.
I was looking at loads of old programs the other day, and one of them, the best I could come... I wasn't looking for that, but then I kind of... I found it. Hill Walker.
Hill Walker's yeah. Quite great. Tell you what we have got coming up. We've got a Daily Greenhoff. I mean, I think that's pretty good. and a Stepney Forsyth. That's not bad. Viral Masuria, whatever it was, is certainly the best one so far.
Anybody that can find old programs or whatever and find
it's a great new
names.
Game.
Yeah,
great
Baxter Jefferson. I think he was the 32nd president of the United States of America.
If he wasn't, he should have been.
Yeah.
He's fantastic, Baxter. Anyway, mate, enough faffing around. Where are we going first?
Well, where we're going, before we start where we're going, I think...
Oh, we know where we're going.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that this will be the last championship recorded this week in ITFC history?
I mean, I think let's let the proverbial cat out of the bag. We're recording this on the Friday evening, which is the eve of the home match tomorrow against Birmingham, which, will basically seal our fate, and we will be relegated tomorrow. I think, did someone say earlier, I think we are anyway, really barring like a 20-goal swing, because Wigan and Millwall have got to play each other.
So, yeah. Who's in the bottom three at the moment?
Must be us, Rotherham, because Reading got a great point at Norwich, didn't they? I mean, I thought bloody Norwich were going to do it again, scored two late goals, but they got a bit of their own back, didn't they? Which was quite nice to see. 97th minute, great goal as well. So
it was
a
great goal.
So it's Rotherham.
So Reading, we could still catch Reading if Wigan and Millwall draw, because I think Reading are on 41. So if they lose all their games,
oh right, and we win all our games with a. I know if we win all our games, we'll get 42. Okay, yeah. So it's not quite cut and dry.
But this is the last one.
Yeah, it's us, Bolton and Rotherham, I think, at the moment. And it is going to be sad. You said earlier it is going to be, especially for long suffering supporters like both of us. And you know, obviously I go back a bit further than you. And yeah, I just Yeah, it's a shocker, really. I know we've all accepted it over the months, over the perhaps weeks, even the months since Christmas, probably. But, you know, when it finally happens, it's going to be pretty horrible, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we've been through quite a few relegations and they're not great. And suddenly, you know, the season's finished and you're still thinking, you know, we got relegated. And then the fixtures come out. And for me, you know, that's when it kind of dawns on you. Yeah.
You see, oh, when are we playing Fleetwood? Oh, look, we've got third game up, Accrington Stanley at home. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, come on, let's cheer ourselves up.
Well, let's go to a happier time. So we're going to go back to the 10th of April, 1976. It's a Saturday. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff. And Town are at home to Tommy Docherty's Manchester United. How long was he a manager of Man United for?
A while, until he left under a cloud. I think he was found, how can I put it? He was having a relationship with a physio's wife or something like that. I'm sure I've got that right. Hang on. I don't think there's any libel case going to come my way. Something like that. He was, as my dad used to say, he was carrying on.
Oh, don't use that phrase anymore. I'm sure it wasn't the landlady of the Greyhound, maybe. Because I heard a few things about her.
I don't think it was. But yeah, apparently. And yeah, so that came to, I was going to say, that's inappropriate as well. I was going to say that came to a sticky end, but I better rephrase that one.
Let's move
that
on.
One as well. Anyway, I reckon he was there 4 or 5 seasons, I reckon. Yeah, yeah.
So this is a big game, Dave. You know, I think we were top six. United are in top 3 or 4 or whatever. And
against 30, that, what brings it home to me? Look at the crowd.
Exactly, 33,438.
It's bursting at the seams. I was there, I remember.
You could take 20,000 off that, and that's probably our highest crowd next season.
Oh, don't stop it.
Now, I read in a couple of reports and stuff that there was some crowd trouble, but it wasn't that clear. Did you get caught up in any of it?
I didn't get caught. I mean, what was I? So I was 12, 76, 13, 13. Yeah, 13. No, I remember the game. It was a really nice day, hot day. I remember the game. It was always trouble when Man United came. Man United were back then the best, well, arguably still are, the best supported team in the land. And they used to take loads away from home. And yeah, there was always trouble. And I remember, you know, trouble spilling out on the pitch. I've seen worse trouble. I've been closer to worse trouble down there, I think. I used to stand in Churchman's with pals back then, so I don't think there could be sporadic fighting up there. I don't think there was that day, but there were Man U all over the ground, absolutely, and you know, massive police presence. Always a good atmosphere when Man U were in town, and this particular Man United side was a good side, full of, you know, well, we'll get to it, but some really, really top players in that side. And don't forget, this is their first season back, so they got relegated 2 seasons before, and the famous Dennis Law back heel that sent them down at Old Trafford. And they'd won. I mean, it's ridiculous. So they went down to Division 2 in new money, the championship, and were still pulling, you know, and started to win and won the championship and were pulling in like 56,000 at Old Trafford every other week. I mean, it was just incredible, you know. So they were on a way. It was a really quite a young side. The nucleus of the side was quite a young side. Well, we'll go through the side. Go on, yeah.
We will. I've just had, while you were talking about that, I just had a text from Jules, who was just saying that he can give me a full list of all of the reports of crowd trouble that day.
Apparently, I'm not sure he was involved, but he saw a lot of it. He was at always
at close quarters, but never involved. And
because he's just celebrated. I think he's just celebrated his 55th. I'm sure he won't mind us saying that. So he'd have been about 10. Oh, yeah, he'd have been in the thick of it, yeah.
He'd have been leading the battle. Let's have a look at the United team. So we've got Stepney.
Yeah,
you can fill
Alex
in the...
Stepney.
You fill
so
in
Alex the, Stepney, yeah. Yeah.
Forsyth.
Alex Forsyth. I liked Alex, didn't they?
Yeah. Houston.
Yeah, Stuart Houston, Ipswich connection there, was a former coach. Go on, my favourite player now, Stat. German Davey. Newspaper. Yeah. Jerry Davey. You love that, don't you?
And I do, but if we play the other game, you could have a look that it was actually the one in Texas. You had the Houston Daily in the list of names.
Oh,
so,
yeah, we did. Houston, yeah. Daily. Yeah. Daily Greenough, I think, is quite good, though.
So I don't know who we've got. We've already named 11 players, but I think at the moment we've got Stepney, Bruce Forsyth, Houston, and Daily. Then we've got...
That's Brian Greenough, so Jimmy Greenough's brother. Yeah.
Where was Jimmy at that point?
I think he was there. He was certainly there, probably just injured. Yeah, I'm sure he was certainly at United then, and certainly played in the cup final the following year against Liverpool. Maybe he hadn't quite joined yet, but yeah.
Buchan.
Oh, Buchan, yeah. Played loads of times. And oh, this next guy always used to rate terrible injury problems. Steve Coppell, great winger.
Yeah, he was a great player. McElroy.
Yeah, Sammy McElroy again, good player.
Pearson.
Stuart Pearson.
I always want to call him Nigel Pearson for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like the guy who got sent off. How many times has he been sent off? 3 times and 14 yellows.
Oh, Pearson. Ben Pearson.
Nigel Pearson, that goes in my mind. McCreary.
David McCreary, yeah.
And Hill.
Gordon Hill. So two out and out. They're real entertaining side. Two absolute flying wingers. So Coppell, very right-footed. So hug the right touchline. And Gordon Hill, I think they call him Merlin, not like magician. You know, all left foot, tricky wing. I think they signed him from Millwall the pre-season, you know, when they won Division 2. Good team. So looking at those, you've got Greenhoff, Coppell, Pearson, Hill. And I reckon round about that time, they're pretty much those were England regulars. So, yeah, good side, really good side.
We'll go through the town team.
Yeah, this is not the strongest.
No, it's not the strongest. And there's a player when we get to him, I'll ask you about your memories of him and stuff like that. So got Cooper and goal, Burley and Mills as your fullbacks, Hunter and Podelty centre halves.
Yeah.
Pat Sharkey,
yeah.
And I tell you what, Pat Sharkey had a great game. What do you remember about him?
I remember him just being a really a fringe player because he was stuck. So, you know, looking at when he was playing then, he was stuck behind Talbot. Certainly he's not there that day. Colin Viljoen's not there that day. It may have been one of the seasons that Viljoen, I mean, there was a whole season that Viljoen missed. I'm not sure if it was that season or the season after. So it had been very much down the old pecking order, as they sometimes say. Here are two or three seasons, maybe. Can't remember him playing more than a handful of games, maybe 10, 15 games.
Irish International?
I think so, yeah. I think Irish International, I think, signing from Portadown or somewhere like that. And I think he went to somewhere like Oxford or Mansfield, something like that. He left probably at the end of this season. I can't remember. It may have been the next season. I can't remember him playing a great deal at all.
Won't ask you much about the next guy, Roger Osborne.
Mick
Lambert, Eric Mick Gates, Lambert. Trevor Wymark, and David Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, great front two, Wymark and Johnson. Eric Gates is interesting playing there. Well, you know, one of his very, I would assume, 1976, one of his very early games, very early in his town career. Yeah, again, yet to find that role that Robson found for him, you know, behind Mariner and Gate, a few years later. But it's certainly not, you know, so obviously from us, Beattie's not there. We obviously said Beattie's not there. Talbot's not there, who would be regulars. And Colin Viljoen, you throw those in. So, yeah, certainly that's not a patched up side, but, you know, and obviously enough quality in the side. But, yeah, certainly not the first choice 11, I would wager.
So the game, I think we finished in sixth and United were in third after the game.
Just quickly. Oh, go on. I'll say this at the end because it's good. Because I think you might love this stat because I'm not sure this would have ever happened. You're going to love this.
It's game 38, so it's a 42 league season. So there's four games left to go. We're in sixth. Can you remember maybe you can explain to people how qualification for Europe used to happen?
Okay. So the champions, surprisingly enough, played in the what was the European Cup, which we all know is the Champions League. So if you won your league, the one side would play in the Champions League, and there was no league format. It was all a knockout format. There's no league format like it is now for the first 6 months or whatever it is. That was it. And the next down to sixth, you qualified for the UEFA Cup, as obviously we did frequently. However, there is a caveat to this season, which we'll get to at the end.
Right, okay. Do you want to share that stat with me, or is that what you're going to...
This is a good stat. I think you're going to like it. So, we played Man United on the Saturday at home.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll get to the result. But the previous Wednesday, we played Man City at home.
And we beat them 3-0.
beat them. Well, not quite. Not quite the same symmetry. We beat them 2-1, but not quite the same symmetry. But there can't be many instances, especially at home. Maybe there could well have been instances over the years, you know, obviously being in the same division where we played home and away, but certainly not two consecutive home games in the space of, what, 3 or 4 days.
Against teams from the same city.
Yeah. I see you revving up now. I can see the stat machines revving up.
Takes me back
up
to 1987. I think it was November when we played Birmingham City at home, quickly followed by Aston Villa. I don't know.
The correlation with this would be obviously Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. Has that ever happened? But yeah, this is, yeah, I can't believe it when I Oh,
bloody
hell.
Nice one. I like that.
Right.
So let's go in. 33 minutes into the game, Town take the lead. And it's a great pass by Pat Sharkey. He's standing just on the touchline. He's not quite by the dugouts, but he's there. And he plays this pass out and he picks Lambert. And it is Lambert scores the first goal, isn't it? Yeah. Suddenly when I thought, and he picks Lambert, and it's just maybe I hesitated because this is not a Mick Lambert goal that you'd imagine. This is a goal that would be befitting of a Champions League or whatever.
Good play. Yeah.
Lambert's what would you say about 12, 14 yards out, but he's close to the byline, probably about 6 yards out from the byline, and he from the touchline goal line, and he
instinctive, isn't it?
This
loop
and volley that goes right over Stepney.
It is Van Basten like
1988, just like that. It's a great goal.
It's a great goal. He's a very underrated player, Mick Lambert. I'm sure not by the players that played with him. Yeah, unselfish, good player.
The Cole Skews of his day, Sorry, even I struggled
with
that.
Well, probably not, because he did score quite a few goals actually, and he did. He did go round people and stuff. So no, I wouldn't compare him to Cole Skews at all.
But you know, Cole Skews can say that he scored goals plural.
He can, yeah. I think if you're comparing it with Lambert, you need to add another S on the end of goals for Lambert, I think.
Yeah. I thought you meant on the end of Skews.
Hang on. I've just seen a great one, Sharkey Osborne. I'm sorry, that might
Sharkey
be
Sharkey Osborne, yeah. Who anyway, would Sharkey Osborne be? He'd be some guy who he'd be able to get you anything. He'd be down the East End. Go and go see Sharkey Osborne.
He'd be like a sort of like a B character from Only Fools and Horses, wouldn't he?
Yeah, where'd he comes Sharkey.
Sharky Osborne sorted me out.
Well, then in the 78th minute, Town go 2-0 up. Sharky again. He takes a free kick and it's a standard Weimark header, would you say? Stepney has no chance. We're 2-0 up, and then we're absolutely purring. 5 minutes later, in the 83rd minute, and as Jerry Harrison said on the YouTube clip I watched, that you know. Will Woods try one of his benders, which kind of which made me laugh.
Turn of phrase.
Yeah, and the ball went into the box, and Johnson's got no defenders around him whatsoever, and he places it just past the advance and Stepney. But for me, that looked quite offside. I know you're saying that you were in a church stand, but
you know they were done by then. I think the fans were starting to get a bit restless and eggy at that point, probably. Yeah.
Do you think that they just received Jules's text or whatever the equivalent was? You know, obviously now that if there's football trouble, you organise it by WhatsApp or stuff like that. So how did they do that?
Probably a nicely worded letter to the chairman of the Man U Nutters Club or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
We will meet you at 4:50 at Princes Street.
4:50 p.m. at Princes. Yeah.
Because football used to finish at 4:50, didn't it?
It is. 4:40. I went to put sort of 20. Would it be 20? Yeah, 20 to 5. 4:40, really. 20 to 5, yeah. Because it was only, you didn't have the, whatever they have now, 20 minutes for halftime, 15. You had, you know, the 10 minutes and it was over. Certainly 20 to 5, quarter to 5, game was over. I mean, Christ, now I could be watching Town if I'm following them away or something like that. And you look, it's bloody 5 to 5 and they're still playing, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Today, like you say, we're recording it on the Friday. So we tried to record this earlier in the week, but things got in the way. We had Town playing Brentford. Then you went out to lunch with Ian Botham and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was great lunch. Yeah, he was on fine form. Yeah, got to have a little chat with him. Yeah, what a legend, the guy. Yeah, sorry, we digress. But he's raised over $30 million for that leukemia charity. Incredible.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's suffering a bit. I think he's just had a back operation or something. So he was hobbling around a bit. But no, he's on good form.
I remember seeing him a couple of times when he played for Scunthorpe and stuff, and somebody said to me that he was also a cricketer. Was that?
I think he could play a bit. Yeah, I think Slower, if Slower listens to this or watches this, he'll fill you in on that. Yeah, I think he used to play a bit of cricket, yeah. But you went in a bit of detail about your Scunthorpe career. Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah, amazing. But getting back to this, and we said about the crowd, something, another point I wanted to make about this game was that, maybe not they're following. Maybe, I don't know, if you got away tickets, it qualified you for a cup final, because literally the previous weekend they played Derby in the semi-final at Hillsborough and beat them 2-0, so United were on their way to the cup final that year against Southampton.
Well, one of the things I was going to say about the kickoff was, so this being recorded on Friday, which is the 12th, yeah. And 5 years ago, I think we played, who do we play? Rotherham, Doncaster, and Chambers scored the late winner. I posted it anyhow. But that game kicked off at 3:07 because it was the 25th anniversary, I think, of the Hillsborough tragedy.
Ah, okay. Yeah, sure. 1989. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no, it can't be 25 years, can it? It must be 30 years.
But,
25 years. It was. It was 30, yeah. It'll be 30 years this year.
30 years this year. Oh, we're lost. Oh, my God, it will be 30 years. Yeah. Oh, my God, it will be. Mate, I can remember that. As if it was yesterday. So yeah, so they were on for the cup final, and this is where it leads. So this season they're on for the cup final, massive favourites against Southampton, huge favourites against Southampton, and we all know in cup finals Sunderland, Arsenal, Sunderland, Leeds, I suppose Ipswich, Arsenal to a degree, yeah. Arsenal were very much the favourites, and certainly this was perhaps one of the biggest of all time. Southampton beat them 1-0, which had a double-edged meaning to us, or I think the country, perhaps pleased that the underdog won. However, if you're an Ipswich fan, it robbed us of our place in Europe, because the cup winners now going, I think, going to UEFA Cup now. They went to the separate competition back then, which was the Cup Winners' Cup. So had Man United won, they finished third that season. Obviously, Liverpool won the championship. They would have gone into the Cup Winners' Cup, and we would have taken our place, our rightful place in sixth position in the UEFA Cup. But that scuppered us, mate. So no Europe for us next season, which was, I think, the only season blob we had in Europe in for about 10 seasons, wasn't it? I think 11 seasons, something like that.
So who was the goal scorer for Southampton?
Bobby Stokes.
Stokes? Yeah. Bobby Stokes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
I think he's sadly passed away. Well, he's no longer with us, Bobby Stokes, I don't think.
All right. Well, if he's not no longer with us, we can't have a go at him that much, can we? So I don't know where we are. We're 25 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. So let's actually pin a date on where we are at the moment. So we're now going. It's the 10th of April, 2001. It's a Tuesday night.
Same day, yeah.
Yeah.
25 years on. God, 25 years on from that game. Exactly, to the date. Incredible.
To the date, yeah. I'll ask you a question about that later. So, yeah, we're in the Premiership, and it's George Burley is facing Gerard Houllier's Liverpool. Now, the game was supposed to be played on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I put a little question there, but were Liverpool in the cup? I don't know, because obviously we then played on the Tuesday night.
Well, so quite famously they were, because this was the season, if you remember, Liverpool just won every cup they entered other than the league. They won the FA Cup, they won the League Cup, and they won the UEFA Cup as well. And quite a famous semi-final that had the previous, so only two or three days before, a couple of days before, actually, I think it was on the Sunday. This was on the Tuesday. Hence, we'll go through the Liverpool side, and you see there's one or two changes. It was a famous semi-final had against Wycombe Wanderers, when they just squeaked in, didn't they? 2-1.
Exactly.
Fowler scored, I think.
Yeah. Gerard Houllier, I think he's got an accent over one of his letters in his name.
All right.
So quite sadly, I keep a spreadsheet of managers with accents over their names. I should get out more.
But you really should.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Who else has got an accent over their name then? Give me another manager.
No, but I think there was it the Barnsley manager or something a while ago? I keep wanting to say, I don't know, Jose. There was a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And an
somebody
accent
like,
over
yeah.
Z or something. Okay.
If yeah. I'm sure, maybe I've missed some in the past. So if anybody can just tweet me with it.
I reckon that Wolves manager has got one.
Nuno
Esperanto.
No, I don't think he has. Oh, he might have. Yeah, he has. Let's say he has, and he hasn't, and then we cover ourselves. Before we go into this game, now I didn't bring the programs, but what I have brought along is this thing called ITFC or Town Collectibles.
Yeah.
It was hand delivered to me yesterday by Alastair Ross.
Oh yeah.
Who is
your local councillor? Is he?
I don't know if he's a councillor. He's certainly an active participant in.
Oh, sorry, I take it back. I thought he was perhaps a councillor. I thought I read that.
He used to be a councillor.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. This is when we need to have the show live and we could phone him and say, Alistair. Anyway, I was going through some old programmes and I found an old team sheet from a combination match in 1984. Oh, awesome. So I knew he collected them and he came around and got it. But then he handed me this, which was a. It's a Ipswich Town Programme and Memorabilia Club.
Okay.
And this is issue 57. Contact Alistair Ross on Twitter if you want to get a copy. But they go on about all different things about programmes and cards that were produced for Josh Emmanuel when he was at Rotherham. Where are you, Josh? There somewhere. but there was a bit in here. There's some old photos, some new photos in there, different things about the Ipswich Town Annual, what's it like.
Stuff you haven't seen, some of the stuff you haven't seen before.
But then they've got a section in here called recent eBay and auction prices from November 2018.
Here we go.
And one thing jumped out at me, which was the Accrington Stanley versus Ipswich Town recent FA Cup match.
Right.
Programme went for £21.50.
No way.
Yeah.
Holy crowley, really?
Yeah, £21. Yeah. That stood out. Some other ones that kind of stand out.
How many did they print? About 100?
Yeah, I mean...
Must have been a very low print run, that's probably why. Must be. There was hardly anyone at the game. It was like, when they're like 4,000 at the game, there was like 2,500 Ipswich or something. Something like that, wasn't it?
I think so. And I think we're probably going to move into next season, into an age of when you should always get a programme, because people are going to go...
Yeah,
but another thing that stood out, you could get the UEFA Cup final ticket that went for £20.
I've got mine. Bloody hell. Yeah,
sell that £20 you got on there. The Lokomotiv Leipzig UEFA Cup home match in 73-74, the ticket's £23. Then you got things like the Suffolk Senior Cup final. So I'm coming to you in a minute. Suffolk Senior Cup final, Orwell Works versus Bungay Town in 60-61. My dad might have been playing then. Don't know. At Portman Road, the programme went for £15.48. Did you ever play in the Suffolk Senior Cup final at all?
No, I was like 13th man, something like that. No,
Nearly. Yeah.
Unfortunately, not. No, no. Never made it. That was when I was with Ransoms, but they got in it a couple of years. They got in it a couple of seasons. I played in, which is now at Portman Road. I played in a couple of Junior Cup finals, Suffolk Junior Cup finals, which is now. We'd say now play at Portman Road, but unfortunately back then they didn't, unfortunately.
One more. If you went to see Ipswich versus Arsenal in an FA Youth Cup competition in 96-97, there was a single sheet and you get £14.50 for it.
Have you got the names? Is there a picture of it? It was playing.
There isn't, no. It's just...
I'd like to see that. Especially Arsenal.
So let's get back.
Nice one. Nice one, mate. Where are we?
Ipswich-Liverpool in the Premiership 2001. So this game coincided with the South Stand was partly opened. So the attendance that day was 23,504, which was the highest since May 1992, when we beat Brighton to win the Division 2 title or collect the title, went up as champions.
That was like 26,000 or whatever it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Fantastic. Brilliant.
And Alan Ferguson won the Premiership Groundsman of the Year. He picked that award up before the game.
He was top when he used to win it most years, didn't he, I think?
Yeah. So a little bit of another trophy for us at the end of that season.
I hope you added that to your spreadsheet, Kat.
Yeah.
Go on.
I haven't, but I should do though, shouldn't I?
Yeah. There you go.
So let's go through the Liverpool team. So Westfield's in goal.
Shopping centre. Sandor Vesterveld. Yeah.
Yeah. Carragher.
Yeah, he didn't play many games at Liverpool, did he?
No. Hippier.
Sammy Hippier was good, wasn't he?
He was a good player, yeah. Babel.
So was he, Marcus Babel, yeah.
Who's Ryan Babel?
He was like the winger, wasn't he? Yeah.
Vignall.
Is Ryan Babel playing for Fulham now? I think Ryan Babel's playing for Fulham this season, I think. That's Gregory Vig now. I want to say I don't remember much about him. I know his name.
Never can't recall him even playing in this game. Paul Gerrard.
Yeah, Paul Gerrard. Yeah, goalkeeper playing on pitch. Stevie G. I mean, must have been, well, obviously the next season, probably only a couple of times he graced Portman Road. Although, I reckon he played in that international, that Croatia game. He must have been playing for England then.
2003.
I would
Beckham
have been.
Played. Yeah, Lampard play?
Lampard put one in the top corner. I remember that.
Yeah.
Gerrard, if he wasn't, he probably should have been. If he wasn't there, he's injured because he would have been playing then.
Biscan.
Igor Biscan. Again, don't remember much about him as a player.
Murphy.
Danny Murphy, good player, wasn't he? Good pundit. Like him as a pundit.
Yeah, he's a good pundit, yeah. And his wife used to be in Hollyoaks, I think.
Right.
Not wishing it had dumbed it down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think so, yeah.
I don't know. Possibly. I didn't know that. But
Hollyoaks is, you missed it a bit. It's kind of a bit like...
It's on
like
Channel
Crossroads. Crossroads for you. You'll probably remember that.
Crossroads. It's all I know about Hollyoaks, and I don't think I've ever watched it. It's set in Chester, isn't it? It's a soap opera set in Chester on Channel 5, I think.
Yeah, one of them. Ziga.
Christian Ziga. Another
great player.
This guy's one of my favourite players. Patrick Berger.
Oh, Patrick Berger.
Left foot like a hammer, didn't he? Oh, brilliant.
He was spicy. And... Heskey.
Cheesy. Yeah. I mean, you can see, look at the just the quality of the sub of the bench. The world, it was only two subs, but bloody Deep Mahal, man, and Gary McAllister. I mean, some quality there on the bench to bring on, isn't it? But like I said, so obviously seems like, you know, there's no Owen there. I'm sure there's other players that should be leaping out. Fowler isn't there. They should be leaping out at me. Would Fowler have been there then? Yeah, I'm sure Fowler would have still been there then. You know, obviously, have been given a rest after their exertions against Wickham 2 days before, 3 days before.
Now, the next lineup, the Town lineup, is a team and a half, I think. So, great team.
Yeah.
Do you think that this team that I'm going to list, do you think that they would have qualified for the UEFA Cup at the end of the 75-76 season?
You know, it's a good team, Stays.
Let me go through it. So
we got, but it's a great team. Go on.
Richard Wright in goal. Titus Bramble at right back.
Yeah.
Macon at left back. Hrynason and
McGreal. Do you know what? It is a player. I always liked Chris Macon. Proper fullback, wasn't he? Proper fullback. Yeah. Herman, brilliant.
John McGreal.
Yeah.
Jermaine Wright, Magilton, and Holland and Rooser. And Armstrong and Stewart up front.
Yeah, again, look at the bench. Scully on the bench, Scowcroft and Fabian Wilness, great team. And, well, you know, the nucleus of the team that took us through that season and ultimately got us to finish where we did. Incredible.
So there's a couple of things about style. So this was our 32nd league game. And you mentioned it earlier. So Liverpool, from what I can remember, were happy to defend. You know, they were coming to the game and didn't really want to lose because obviously I think, you know, they were just behind us in the league. And that was their third game in.
That's what I saw. I mean, going into this game with six games to go, we're third and they're fifth, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And that was their third game in 6 days. I think that they were quite comfortable for us to have the ball. We don't know what the possession stats were, but once we got into their half, they very, very quickly broke us down. Yeah, they just shut it. And we started going for the long ball a bit more. And then there was a lack of space for everybody on the pitch. But there was a chance. McGreal, he plays his back pass. I don't know if you remember it. And Ziga gets the ball. He's only got right to beat, but he drags his shot wide.
Rooster
then has a long throw cleared out of the box. And Jermaine Wright's 30-yard drive is well saved by the...
Shopping centre in Stratford.
And then, so we're going at half-time 0-0. And I think what I remember about the game was a feeling of annoyance, really. But also kind of understanding how much respect and how well we were doing, that Liverpool were coming here and giving us a fair bit of...
deep. No, you're dead right. Yeah, shame they didn't do it the following season.
No, anyway, that's right. No respect there, was there?
No, it's brilliant. I remember, you know, 23,000. I remember the atmosphere being a great atmosphere. And a bit like you, thinking that the game was itself, because of how Liverpool set up, was actually a bit flat
yeah.
in the first half, you know. Yeah.
46 minutes, so right at the start of the second half. I can't remember. Some people were still probably queuing up for their pie.
Definitely.
Ziga flicks the ball on and Makin, I don't know, he appears to kind of duck a bit and Heskey's acceleration while it does the rest and right, he comes out.
Yeah, lack of communication, I think, yeah.
Nutmegs him, which does is always him,
the
worst, I think, if you're a keeper or even if you're on the field.
Oh, you see it happen a lot, you know, forward hits the ball early and goes through the keeper's legs, yeah.
So the game was hard enough for us as it was at 0-0, but then we go to 1-0 and I can't remember how long we go through the second half, but Burley makes a key change here, and he brings on Scowcroft because he realises that, you know, the only way that we are kind of going to get through. No, it's going to have to be an aerial battle.
I don't know how you start. I really rated Scowcroft. And Scowcroft was a great sub because he was so adaptable. He could play that target man role up front.
Yeah.
He could play wide left and win balls. He could play wide right and win ball. He was such an effective player for us. That's it. Well, we all know he... Yeah, go on. Yeah,
I mean, he scored lots of goals for us, and then he went on to play for Leicester.
He shouldn't have left. You shouldn't have left when he did. But there you go.
Would you say he was one of the? He'd be an underrated player for Town. People won't.
Very slightly, slightly. I think, you know, you look back on that and think he was. I think he was invaluable. He's more than a squad player because he would hold his own in the team. But
yeah,
I think him. And we've said this on the pod before, but that close season, him going and Wright going, and we all know what happened the following season. That was the difference. That made the difference. If they had stayed, I still maintain to this day, if they had stayed, we wouldn't have gone down. Do you? I just don't see it.
Well,
we wouldn't have done. So, you know, you've got Serini. Well, okay. Yeah, obviously. But, you know, you get, you know, Serini in, Finidi, George, and, you know, they just weren't, sounds odd thing to say, but they just weren't Ipswich players, were they?
So what you're saying is that Richard Wright and James Scowcroft were better than Matteo Serini and Finidi George?
In a team function, yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to say individual one-to-one, I'd say Wright's probably better than Serini. And yeah, obviously Finidi George, Christ, he won Champions Leagues and stuff like that. But in a team environment, not what no upset, I know where you're going with this, not an upset, the sort of like the proverbial apple cart of the dressing room. That's what happened. There was just too much going on. A bit like this season to a lesser degree.
I wasn't surprised that you said that Wright was better than Serini, because obviously you think he's better than Paul Cooper. Right. So Scully then has a chance. He's got a free header that he puts back across the goal. And then we go into the 77th minute, so 13 minutes to go. Stewart's pass on the left. And Makin produced a searching cross which cleared the Liverpool defence and found Armstrong. He's coming in at the far post and he guides the ball past Vesterveld. And I tell you what,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oof, coming off.
But then, you know, I read a couple of reports and my memory of the game just seemed to peter out. And I think both teams, I think we were happy to think, well, we keep Liverpool at bay. That's another game ticked off.
They were happy with a point. I think. By that time, Liverpool had probably brought on McAllister or probably both and Herman, certainly Herman, and just really tightened things up. So you'd probably look at that and see they probably have brought Herman on for someone like, I'm not saying they did, but someone like a Murphy and maybe McAllister for maybe Biscan or something like that, and just passed the ball around and kept us, you're right, at arm's length. But yeah, great point. Great second half. I remember that. Good atmosphere and, I mean, you know, five games to go, we're still third, and incredible, really. I mean, that was what I didn't appreciate until I looked back at this season. I mean, I don't know how the season developed, but we had, after three straight losses in January and February, we're on a bit of a bad run, and we'd sort of lost a bit of that momentum. And this was like in the middle of a nine-game run where we won seven, drew one, and lost one, which was really the catalyst that, you know, that kicked us into Europe. Just incredible, wasn't it? And yeah, fondly look back, and it's 18 years ago. 18 years, for Christ's sake. And what I said, like next season, end of next season, it'll be 20 years since we won at Wembley. How the hell has that happened?
Mad.
I know. Bonkers. But
if you could remind me about that again, because that coincides quite nicely, although not at the time. Well, obviously at the time as well, it was very nicely, but my wedding anniversary, so... Yeah. I'll have to remember that. So yeah, we finished at third. We finished that game in third. Liverpool were fifth, and we had 53 points. Let's go to a time when this game. I absolutely love this game. So it's the 11th.
This is
11th of April, 1992. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff. John Lyles in the home dugout, and Kevin Keelan is the the Newcastle manager.
Yeah, Kevin Keelan.
Little note here. So we're top, first of all, and we will always remain top for the rest of this season. But the referee, one of my favourite referees, Alf Buchs.
Alf Buchs. I remember. Yeah, a real character, wasn't he? Yeah, I remember him.
Do you think he was a real character because we seemed to really, really well with him as a referee?
Yeah, you always remember him fondly, don't you? Yeah, that's right. I think it probably is that.
But also, this is 1992, which is a generation ago now. It was quite unique to see a man of colour being a referee. Do you think that was?
Yeah, no, it probably it was. It sounds awful thing to say, but it was a novelty back then because you just didn't. There weren't any. It was. Yeah, he was the first I remember. He absolutely was. And a good ref. Not just because we always seemed to do well when he was there, but yeah, a good ref. Yeah.
Do you think that there are some people who say about Andy Durso and go, he was a good ref? Always a good ref for us.
I'm sure there must be one club out there where it always seemed to have favoured them, but not us.
So 20,673 have turned up to watch a game, and I remember the Geordies brought a fair few. I think they might have had two pens in the north stand.
And they were having that day. A terrible season as well.
They were.
Dreadful season.
Let's go through the Newcastle team. So we've got Wright in goal.
Tommy Wright, the goalkeeper, yeah. No, Ireland International, I want to say Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland, Tommy Wright was,
yeah.
Ransom.
Ray Ransom, Man City, fullback, like multi-millionaire now, aren't he?
Do you think that my word has corrected Ransom to put Ransom down?
Yeah, you put Ransom, I saw that, but I know that's a statism, so that's why I went with it.
So let's not go with the rest of the names. Stimpson.
Yeah, I think that's Mark Stimpson, I think.
Mark Stimpson, yeah. Yeah. Scott.
Kevin Scott, is it? Kevin?
Yep. Howie? Yeah.
That's Scott Howie. Lee Howie. He played for us, didn't he? That's his brother, Scott Howie.
There's a Steve Howie as well, isn't there?
Oh, no, Steve. Actually, let me Steve. Actually, maybe that is Scott Howie. Maybe that is actually Steve Howie. What do I think? Scott Howie. That's Steve Howie.
If you look at the names above, you got Scott.
Oh,
the
Scott,
other player,
that's what I'm
Howie.
Going with it. I think it's Steve Howie, yeah.
O'Brien?
That's Liam O'Brien, yeah.
Yeah. Clark.
Yeah, Lee Clark. Yeah, player.
Great player. Peacock.
Yeah, Gavin Peacock. Yeah, another good player.
Was he related to Darren Peacock at the time he played for QPR?
Along with the Ben Bloom hair. Must have been, surely.
Yeah.
Sort of half-brother.
Yeah. This other name jumped out at me and surprised me that he was there. Sheedy.
What a player. Now, there's left feet. There's left foot and there's left foot. So Kevin Sheedy. Had the proverbial left foot like a bloody wand, didn't he? My binding memory of Kevin Sheedy is not a nice one. Is in that cup quarter final when he takes a free kick against Cooper at Goodison, and he floats one in left foot, and the referee disallows it for I don't know. No, he took it before the whistle, took it for the signal, and he puts the ball down and he takes exactly the same kick in exactly the same place and just puts it a little bit higher. Absolute class player. Sheedy. He gave that Everton side, what a player. But yeah, I must admit, I forgot till I saw this that it went to Newcastle.
So that was 7 years after that Everton game. So I don't know what age Sheedy was at Newcastle.
Yeah,
but
I reckon
put him towards mid-30s.
Yeah, I'd say, great player. So, well, obviously a couple of seasons before, he played, scored against, for your lot, against England, of course.
Yeah. Brock.
Kevin Brock, I think that is.
Kelly.
And David Kelly. I'm just seeing what we can get. I'm quite liking Sheedy Brock. I quite like. Do you like Sheedy Brock?
Sheedy Brock. What
Clark
about
Peacock? Clark Peacock's got quite a. That's pretty good. Scott Howie. That's where I was going with that. Anyway.
What about Ransom Stimpson? Shoe shop.
Well, wait. What about the subs? Quinn Christensen. Oh, that's pretty decent. I love this game.
He would be an 80s action hero, an actual actor.
Oh, he would, but I tell you, it'd be another act. Looking at the town side, it'd be another good actor, Milton Stockwell.
Milton Stockwell. Isn't that a line on the central line or something? That was Kevin Keelan's team. And Tam, we had Forrest in goal, Zondervan at right back, Neil Thompson at left back, Walk and Whelan. Old and young. Centre half pairing, and then we've got Simon Milton Stockwell, Dazelle Goddard, Kwamia Witten. If you were ever around in 91-92, and you hear, you know, Dazelle Goddard, Kwamia Witten, all you are thinking about is goals. How many goals are in there?
Goals. Yeah. And I'd say that was the classic lineup of that season, other than perhaps Whelan in latterly because of Linegan. I guess Linegan got injured, I think, and Whelan in for him. And he hit the ground running because, he scored, I think we covered these, but he scored, two really crucial goals in the running, didn't he, Phil Whelan?
Two goals in a week,
Wolves, I remember. This season just came out of nowhere because this was obviously under Lyle. His second or third season, I think. And certainly before the start of the season, we were nowhere near favourites or anywhere near playoff candidates at all. I think we'd had a fairly average season the season before, you know, below mid-table probably. And I don't think anyone was thinking any different here. But Lyle was was canny, wasn't he? Canny manager, wasn't he? And I think, did he not sign, was it the season before? Witten, I always used to think, was a key player.
Great player. 17 minutes into the game, Newcastle take the lead. Now, one thing I want to say, Gavin Peacock, I remember he was a Christian, so he refused to play on a Sunday when Sunday football came about. So,
remember that.
Shame that this game wasn't on a Sunday. We might have done better than we did. So Lee Clark plays the ball into Peacock. He's on the edge of the penalty area facing the north stand, and he's got his back to goal, and Whelan is with him, but then I think that's where Whelan just shows his maturity at that point. Peacock suddenly finds a bit of space. Whelan's lost him by about a yard, and he just turns around and fires it past Craig Forrest.
Can we say, did Peacock open himself up?
He did. It was a lovely display. can't think of any other
We're wasted on here. Absolutely wasted on here.
I'll tell you what. So if you imagine, right, that there was a pyramid, right? At the top of the pyramid, all the sides were the same. Yeah. And a peacock laid an egg right on the top, right? Which way would the egg roll? Which way would it go?
I don't know. Go on, guess.
Which side? You know, it's going to be...
Right side. Go on.
So let's say north, south, east or west, yeah?
North.
No, because peacocks don't lay eggs. Peahens do.
Yes, of course.
I mean, if that's not premium partridge there.
Brilliant, mate.
Yeah. So where are we? 1-0, Newcastle are up. And in the 30th minute, Goddard's drive is battered away by Ranson. And he kind of, we appeal, Alf gives it to us because he's refereeing our game.
Lovely. He's a lovely
man. He's going to throw a penalty in for us.
Yeah.
Ranson just... It's when you see the replay, definitely a penalty, and Witten, he places his penalty high into the left hand corner.
Oh, don't know. You see it hard as well.
Not sure what his overall record was when in penalties, I can't remember him missing many.
You see him hard. He's one of these players that sort of had a really hard side foot. Do you know what I mean? Side foot, but with pace. You know, not necessarily placement and with pace as well.
So that's 30 minutes, and I can't really remember much more about the game than the goals, but what I would say was that atmosphere was buzzing, though. You know, as you would expect with Kevin Keelan, you know, the ball's going to be, you know, they're going to be trying to attack and trying to win.
He loves that, doesn't he? He loves it.
Absolutely. And then
what we actually should say, Keelan had only been there like a couple of months. He'd replaced Ardiles I think in February, so he hadn't really been there that long.
He was he the catalyst, Keelan, when he was there?
He certainly was when he was a player. When he first went there as a player in the early 80s, God, he was like a god on up there. I think you're right, definitely. Yeah.
42nd minute, so we're going into half time, both teams at 1-1, but then suddenly Sheedy plays this great pass. It's about 40 yards, maybe 50. I'm trying to, I don't want to exaggerate, but it's a great pass. No, Peacock's on the end of it.
Yeah.
Forrest is a little bit slow to come out, I think. And when he gets there, well, he's made it easy at that point. You know, he's hesitated. Time he goes, and Peacock is just able to put the ball past him. And it's 2-1, and we go in at halftime. 2-1 down. You know, we are top. I'm not quite sure. Didn't make a note of where Newcastle were, but like you said, I don't think they were doing that well.
Well, I know Newcastle did. I had a look. Yeah, Newcastle were struggling. They were struggling. Yeah. They because they went the season. They went on to finish 20th. They were low.
20th. So we come out in the second half. 68th minute. Neil Thompson's got a corner again. When we talk about left foots with Kevin Sheedy and stuff,
delivers it though. Pace. Yeah.
Somo. Yeah. And. Yeah. You can see why Newcastle are where they are in the league, because Walkie comes in completely unmarked and he sends a bullet header past Tommy Wright.
Because that's not likely to happen at all, is it? I mean, they wouldn't have foreseen that at all, would they?
John Walk for 20, you know, at least what we're talking about, 15 plus years at that point of ghosting in at the far post or whatever and sticking a bullet header past the keeper. So it's 68, and then we get to the 72nd minute. Now, I don't know about you, Dave, but I absolutely love this season. Some great memories of going to
one of the
away
best.
Games. But on the 72nd minute
of
the 11th of April 1992, I knew we were going to get promoted.
Yeah.
So what happens? Stockwell plays a ball out to Witten, and Witten's on the touchline. It's fantastic. He finds it's something that you when you kind of think about Steve Witten, you kind of. The memory kind of says, yeah, the ball's been pumped up to him from a goal kick and he's flicking it on.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he's got the ball on the touchline and he's put a great
fired
cross
in across, yeah.
But what you don't expect is for him to be doing, you know, having two or three players around them, having a messy-like run to get the ball through. He threads a lovely ball through to Palmer.
This is a hell of a goal.
Palmer gets inside the box. You're looking across. Kawamia's coming in. The defender's sort of stuck between the two.
Yeah.
And all credit to Steve Palmer here, because
awareness.
99% of people would have just had a shot.
Lost their head.
And he just rolls it past into Kawamia's path, who's 7 yards out, and he taps it in. And then Kawamia, well, I remember North Stand,
does a little dance, doesn't it?
Yeah, going wild.
Brilliant.
Game finished
and in front of the North Stand. You're right. Yeah,
we knew we were going up. That was our fifth successive league win.
Well, this is it, and this is when you compare them. Bring it up to date with that lot up the road, as GB calls them, that it's momentum, wasn't it? You know, fifth straight with momentum. And just as well as that got us over the lines, we didn't finish the season great. I think we only won one, which is Brighton, the very last game after we'd been promoted anyway. I think we'd lost the next two, got stuffed at Sunderland,
4-0,
I think.
Yeah.
Lost at Bristol City, I think. And then a couple of draws. And sort of like stumbled over the line, but fortunately, so did the other team. So in the end, we won the division by, I think, 4 points from Borough, I think.
Was Grimsby at home in that run? Yep. I remember loads of people turn up to watch
battered
us play Grimsby,
draw. Oh, God. Yeah, I remember, I think it was the Witten getting a late penalty against Wolves, was it?
Wolves,
again,
yeah.
Another great moment. But yeah, this game, you're right. After you think, yeah, we're... Perhaps we, I think we did. I'm not sure we played brilliantly well in this game. I think it was a really tight game, and you know, 3-2 could have gone either way, I'm sure. But you know, as Norwich do now, this can be seen this season. You know, you just, as I said before, you just found a way to win, and yeah, brilliant at the end, scene superb. You're right. You, at that stage, you thought, yeah, we're going to do it, and well, fortunately, we did.
We did. So let's go to the 16th of April. Let's bring it up to. Closer to nearer times now. 16th of April 2013. So it's a Tuesday night. It's a 7:45 kickoff. If you're at this game, you'll know all about this game because, well, you only had to be at 8 minutes of this game. But yeah, so Mick McCarthy was the town manager, and we were facing Ian Holloway's Crystal Palace.
I tell you what, and that's a good look at a Palace side. That's a decent side. Decent,
great team. Typical. Crowd for 2012. I think if you're looking, we're down to 17.5. But we were before the game, we were in 17th place. It was our 43rd league game. So we'll see how the game goes, just to see whether we think we might be safe at the end. Let's go through the Palace team. So Julian Speroni in goal. Argentinian.
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
It makes me think, have we faced many Argentinian goalkeepers?
I don't know.
Joel Ward. Obviously, we were linked with him, weren't we, when Joel Ant was there.
Yeah.
Jonathan Parr.
Yeah.
And then I got bored of putting the first names in, so you can go with the rest. So Ramage.
I think it's Peter Ramage, isn't it?
Yeah.
He has played for QPR.
Their captain was Delaney.
Delaney, yeah.
He was a great player, wasn't he?
I like Delaney. I quite like Delaney. Heart on his sleeve type sort of guy, wasn't he? What you got with Delaney. Yeah.
He was another mutual consent deal that left the club, and then he ended up playing in the Premier League.
For quite a while.
Oh,
for Palace, I think a bit of a crowd favourite, I think.
I've no idea how to pronounce this guy's surname.
Dick Choi, isn't it?
Dick Choi, is it?
Yeah, Kagasho, Dick Choi, yeah.
Dick Choi. I was going to say Dick Kakoi. Dick Kakoi. Johnny Williams.
Yeah. Player. Love him. Yeah.
Moritz. Or Moritz.
I think he's Andre Moritz. I believe he's Brazilian,
Andre
actually.
Andre Moritz.
Don't remember.
Tell you what, these next three players that they had played. Bolasie.
Yannick Bolasie. Yeah, now of Everton, I think. Yeah, or was. Maybe not now.
Wilfred Zaha.
Yeah. Glenn Murray.
And Glenn Murray.
Look what I got on the bench.
What a name. So his surname's Richards. You want to tell us what his first name was?
Jazz Richards. But look who else is on the bench. Probably only Kevin Phillips, for Christ's sake.
Kevin Phillips. And is that Aaron Wilbraham as well?
Yeah. I remember I was sitting. I weren't sitting in my usual seat for this game. I was in. I think I was with clients or so. Not in a box, but I was in the. We went to the centre spot for a meal beforehand, a meal, and then we had those seats in front of the boxes, but it's outside front of the boxes. So I was quite close to the play, really close to the play, and what really impressed me was that first half before the damage was done. I was speaking with a couple of guys with me, and they said, "Coy's a great player." And that was like Johnny Williams. Oh, that Williams is a player, isn't he? And then another guy said, "I also like that Parr, left back. Don't they link up well together?" They really did. But go on, go for the town side because there's some right players in this side. Go on.
So was Mick sitting with you then? Or was he in the... I thought he was in the dugout, but it sounds like he was sitting over there, you know, getting a few...
Yeah, we spotted him. Yeah, well, I'll drop Mick an email in the morning. I'll just tip him off about those two.
Now, this is the team that's in transition with McCarthy, isn't it? I think when you kind of look at some of the players we go down. So we've got Loach in goal. Stearman and Cresswell as your fullbacks.
What I do remember this game is, other than the goals, is a tackle that Stearman did on Williams. And that might have been the start of Williams' bloody injuries because he absolutely cleaned him out. The ball.
I can't remember that.
Oh, mate. Well, I was right again because
I
was sitting right in front of me. He absolutely destroyed him. Hell of a tackle. Yeah.
You can hear Graham turn off now. So Chambers isn't at right back. Obviously, we've got Stearman in on loan from Wolves. So Chambers is in there with Tommy Smith as centre-halves.
Yeah.
And then look at this industrious midfield of Garan Endor, Luke Heim, Carlos Edwards, who's now joint manager of Woodbridge Town or something.
Yeah.
And then this guy, I know that we completely differ on.
Stop it with you. Yeah. If you... Jet. Mate. If that guy could only have applied himself, is that the word? I don't know.
So his name is J. Emmanuel Thomas, and the very few things that I agreed with Mick McCarthy was about when he, you know, Mick used to love the Didsy this, Skewsy that, Chambo that. I'm going to keep going, Dave. I'm not going to be put off by what's going on the other screen. But he refused to call Jet. He called him J. Emmanuel Thomas. And,
I know he did. Idiot. The guy had so much talent. And he, again, in a fairly... drab season, all right. You know, this is a season where McCarthy had been in the not a full season, he joined in November. And to be fair, he'd pulled us. Well, yeah, we'll get on to how many goals we can see. I think it's safe to say it tightened us up, hasn't it? You know,
without a doubt.
But in that season, maybe not this game. This game was perhaps a bit of an outlier, as Ben would say, in this season. But Jet could do stuff that you just bloody get you off your seat. Although, all right, then he could like lose concentration, let a 5-yard ball under his foot. But some of the stuff he could do was, and you just thought, God, you know, why can't you, you know, just yeah, apply it, you know. But
he wasn't scared to take a shot, and you can have shots raining in from 50 yards, but but none of them hit the target.
Fair, I can't believe he got any game time at all under McCarthy. Yeah. None at all, but yeah.
Now, one of the things about Jet in this game was that I think there was a, I believe the young people call it beef. There was a bit of beef, I think, after this game between Jet and Yannick Bolasie. So I think they were sharing keek videos of themselves rapping and stuff.
Oh, yeah. But because you're right. Because again, Finnish aside.
You're right with Clack. So we had an agricultural forward line of Frank Nubel and Daryl Murphy.
Frank the Tank. God, jeez, look at that. I mean, you forget some of these players. Look who's on our bench, for God's sake. Yeah, Patrick Quisnorbo. Forgot about him totally.
Some people say that he only made one appearance for Town, but he played a few more times here because Norwood, not many, but Wordsworth or Woody as he was called.
I used to quite like him as well, but again, yeah. I quite like that sort of languid left foot type players. I quite like that, but again, he wasn't a McCarthy. I think he had a bit of injuries as well like that, but I think he's at Wimbledon now, I believe. I think he's at Wimbledon.
Is he? Yeah. And the other guy who came with a lot of promise, Elliot Hewitt, was the other sub.
Elliot Hewitt, yeah. I know he's Notts County. He was at Notts County. I don't know.
Was he at Colchester?
Yeah, he's at Colchester for sure. Yeah. Not sure where he is now.
So you've got a great view where you're sitting and stuff like that, eating your prawn sandwiches. I'm stuck in the Sir Alf Ramsey lower. Uh-huh. And obviously all of the action kind of happened up the other end. It's one of these games.
I was at the end near the so I was just really below the away, you know, up the end near the away supporters. So again, all that action was a little bit away from me, unfortunately.
And they got so much action in such a short space of time in this game that everything else kind of the memory goes. Can't really
but
think.
It's weird because I know I'd been to Derby a couple of weeks before when we said before that famous last minute goal from Carlos Edwards.
Were you in an executive box then or director's box, weren't you?
Yeah, I've told you that story. Yeah, I won't get into detail. We'll get to that game at some point.
But I think the point I'm trying to make is that do you actually ever sit, you know, with the common people?
These seats I was sitting in were fairly were they, you know, open to the elements, mate. There was nothing corporate about these.
Were they padded?
No, they might have been. No, I don't think they were. No, I don't think they were.
I'm being harsh on you.
I know you are, but look, I'll roll with it. I can take that. But I didn't have the best of views. But look at that Palace side. You looked at Arsenal. You think, Christ, we're going to get turned over royally tonight. You know, look at the pace in their side. But yeah, we sort of blew them away, really, didn't we? It was a really odd game.
Well, I remember that they. All I kind of remember is that, you know, Palace were riding high. Yeah, but they were on top
in this game, for sure.
Yeah,
for
definitely. Sure. They were in the top six, but I think they were on a bad run. I think they were coming to us on a bad run. But they were certainly, you know, in the playoff places. And from what I remember is that they kind of dominated the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't think until the 37th minute that their keeper was really involved, Spironi.
I think he was.
Did he have his tracky bottoms on?
He always did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you feel about that?
No, I don't hold with that. No, we should get their knees dirty and stuff, shouldn't they? Really? Yeah.
Richard Wright and Paul Cooper. Did either of those wear tracky bottoms?
Never.
But I'm sure Paul Cooper wore them.
I've done. Well, I'm not getting involved in that.
Yeah. So in the 37th minute, the ball goes forward to Spironi is about 5 yards outside of his box. You know, controls the ball on his chest. I think it's fair to say that this is a sort of a South American style of goalkeeping, would you say?
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
You're not going to get Scott Loach 5 yards outside his penalty area.
No.
He chests it, and the ball comes down, and before he can clear it, Nubel comes in, nicks the ball off him, and goes around, and he just about hits the target, but he shoots into an empty net, and that was his first Town goal. So you're thinking 1-0 up, we go up. And we get to the 45th minute, and I think they say there's going to be 2 minutes of injury time, probably because of Johnny Williams and that tackle with Stearman that you were saying. And what I like is there's Tanner on the attack, and Endor's in the middle. And I liked Endor. I think he was a big unit. He was quite skillful. I mean, he played for St Etienne. He came from St Etienne on loan. He's in the middle of the park and he just cushions the ball down into Cresswell's path. Cresswell, and the ball bounces up, and Cresswell's not the tallest of players, so he then has to kind of head it down to head it in the direction that he wants to, but he heads it brilliantly just forward of it himself, and he gets about 30 yards out and he fires like a left foot rocket.
That is a thunder bastard. Yeah. That one does constitute a thunder bastard. It just sits up beautifully for him. It's a good bit of skill because, yeah, you're right, the ball, from memory, the ball bounces up and he sort of heads it forward and he just meets it in his stride absolutely perfectly. And it's one of those ones where, you know, when you just put your foot through and you make absolute perfect contact, then you're yes in. Absolute rocket. What a goal that was.
Do you think
there can't be many better goals?
I think it was goal of the season. And
oh, was
pretty
it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, oh, it must have been. Good God. Yeah.
It would have been a great goal to beat that. But do you think Spironi would have saved it if he didn't have his tracky bottoms on? Do you think they hindered him a bit in his movement in the air?
I don't think he'd have saved that, no. No, I don't think so.
Suddenly we're there thinking, oh, we're going in 1-0 up. You know, we're quite happy with that. And then it's 2-0. And everybody's really happy. So people are now nipping down to get a burger or a pie or whatever. And Palace kick off straight from the kickoff. They play the ball back and Frank is on fire at this point. He chases it down. He nicks the ball off Ramage. Ramage, in my opinion, seems to get the ball stuck under his foot. You know when you do that and you just can't kick it.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Shell-shocked, I think.
New ball is like
a
greyhound on steroids. Just takes the ball off him. He goes into the box and he rolls the ball under Spironi. We've gone from going in at 1-0 up to 3-0 up and going down and, you know, sharing a pint with your friends and stuff like that. I remember having a conversation with my mate and you were just kind of like standing there.
What the hell happened there?
A happy shell shocked.
Yeah. It was a hell of a game, wasn't it? And then, you know, he just closed it out and I can't remember. The second half was a bit of a non-event, but I mean, I think Phillips had a chance. I seem to remember Phillips at the post. I think
that was about the only thing. Yeah, he came on. There was always a worry, but when you're 3-0 up, you know, I think we were quite
even us at that season. Yeah. And it just shows, I mean, the stat you've put here, how he tightened this up. Because don't forget, before and just as McCarthy came, we'd conceded like 6 at Blackpool, 6 at Leicester, I think, another 6 at Leicester. Yeah. I didn't realise this, so after this game, we conceded 6 goals in the last 14 games, having let in 51 in the previous 29. I mean, you got to say, he sorted us out this season, didn't he? He really did.
That's the sort of thing that we needed when Hurst went.
Yeah.
A manager like Mick McCarthy in and just
shore
us up. Yeah.
I know. Perfect. Absolute perfect. But, yeah, that probably wasn't likely to happen. I think I said at the time, you know, the manager, that would have been the perfect scenario for him. And, yeah, arguably a similar scenario to what he came in when Jewell left.
I'll put it to you that under the Mick McCarthy era, and this isn't not intentionally having a slight at Mick McCarthy, but there aren't many games, you know, you're going to struggle
like
to stand out. And this one is a standout game.
Yeah,
you knew if you were there and you saw...
Yeah.
Frank on top of his game.
Yeah, the great goal from Cresswell. No, you're right, Stat. There really wasn't. There wasn't that many memorable games. I mean, I can remember. What was the one? I know we've covered this. The late 2 goals against Derby, Berra, and goal of the season from Johnny Williams.
Johnny Williams
of the season as well. That was another game that you remember. I think perhaps it was probably a season after this.
Yeah.
And you think, oh yeah, that was a great game. But you're right, they were few and far between, really.
So we
there was a lot of gritty 1-0s, 2-1s, and not pretty. But yeah, this was all good stuff.
If you were making Mick McCarthy's era at Ipswich into a TV programme, do you think it would be one of those gritty Scandinavian thrillers?
With subtitles, definitely. Yeah, definitely. The upshot of this is, of course, I forget, Palace obviously recovered pretty well because they got in the playoffs and won the playoffs, for Christ's sake. Beat Watford and got promoted, and I assume have been up ever since.
I'll take your word for it as usual.
So.
Yeah, we went up from 17th to 13th, so we were on 56 points with 3 games to go, and 22nd relegation place was on 51 points. So we needed that win, really.
Yeah, well, it shows how what the division's like this season, doesn't it?
Yeah. So now let's go to, we've got four birthdays.
God, who we got?
On the 12th of April is Joey Garner. He's 31.
Joe. Big bad Joe.
I don't really like him.
I liked him playing for us, I must admit. I'd liked him playing for us. Don't forget, I mean, you know, only one season. I think he's still just about made double figures, did he? Or nine goals? He scored goals. I mean, Christ, you know, imagine being there now, having 9 or 10 goals to your name. You'd be comfortably the top scorer.
I think what I like about him is he puts himself about.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. You know, if I was a manager and I've got an agent coming in, so I've got a few players, you know, what sort of players you're looking for in my scouts, I'd be saying, get me a player who can put himself about. I think, you know, my team would probably have a number of red cards, but I'd kind of like the Tiricos,
I agree.
Roy Keane. But what I would say about him.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
He went down too easy. He looked for free kicks too much, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, I do get your point. There was people around where I sit. Oh, he's always on the ground, and he did seem to be that way. But yeah, I think he came in for a bit of rough handling and stuff. Let's just say he certainly gave as good as he's got. But I agree, he did at times seem to go down easily. But yeah, certainly could have done with someone like him in the trenches, as they say this season, for sure. Sure.
Do you think if he was in the trenches with you, he'd be singing Three Little Birds?
No, I don't think he would somehow. No, I don't think he would. Yeah.
Now, here's a player. We had him on loan from Glasgow Celtic, Jerry Craney. He will be 49 on the 13th.
So, mid-90s?
I think he scored once.
Mid-90s?
Yeah. I think a bit later.
Really?
Yeah, I want to say...
97, 98?
Yeah, around then, I think, 97. Yeah.
Vaguely remember. I mean, how many games stat? 3, 4?
I think he played about 5 or 6.
Okay.
I think he scored 1 goal.
Okay. No, doesn't. I mean, I remember him playing. I vaguely doesn't. Yeah, I remember him. It would have been that season. I remember him playing in that. It seems stupid. You remember the shirt he played? You know that shirt with that, which looked like it run in the wash. That one.
The dip dye one.
That one. That's the one. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was we're talking about 95, 96 or 96, 90, yeah, around yeah, mid, just beyond the mid-90s, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Didn't make much of an impact on me, I've got to say.
Well, will the next guy make an impact on you? Shane O'Connor on the 14th will be 29.
Mate, just remember him one game in the snow. I think if all our games had been played in the snow, it'd have been our player of the season, wouldn't he? He was outstanding against Leicester in the snow. He was like a Roberto Carlos, wasn't he? Was superb.
He was superb, and I think maybe it was the Irish environment that brought him. He'd been brought up in, and put him in good stead for this game, maybe.
He was obviously in short sleeves and stuff. Everyone else was in thermals and he was in short sleeves and bloody loving it.
Oh,
he?
Lovely out
oh,
here, man.
Oh, loving that.
Do you know what I like about Shane O'Connor?
Go on.
So Shane O'Connor's birthday is the 14th, and so he shares the same birthday as I do.
Hey!
So before that, I used to share my birthday, well, I still do share my birthday, but with Andy Marshall.
So now, if someone asks you, what Ipswich player from history do you share your birth? Clearly a Shane O'Connor, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm never going to say Andy Marshall.
No,
although, no doubt, you'd probably say that Andy Marshall was better than Paul Cooper.
I'm just saying, I'm not right.
How about this one? Andy Marshall or Matteo Cerini?
Ooh. Oh, Matteo Cerini.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was let's forget about all the other stuff in his life, but he was a good looking man who knew where the cameras were when he was making the save.
He liked the Hollywood savers, they say. I used to like that the way he used to kick it out of his hands as well. He had that sort of technique about him. Yeah, I said, yeah, certainly Cerini over Marshall went every day of the week. Yeah.
Now we're building up to, I would say, one of my top 10 players of the last 20 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Great player. And what I want, well, let's say who it is. So Sisto Peralta.
Yeah.
He's going to be 40 on the 16th of April.
Yeah.
Now, he's on Twitter at Mumo Peralta. And I think as many people as possible should wish him a happy birthday for his 40th birthday, because he was a great player. We got him on loan from Inter Milan.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he was. You know. He was for, ironically, in the season we got relegated. But, you know, during that, I don't know, that ridiculous eight wins out of nine or something like that. Yeah. He's outstanding, wasn't he? Absolutely. No, I think he was for the rest of the season. You know, we shouldn't have gone, let's face it, that position we got ourselves in by the end of when it was January or February, whenever it was. We should never have gone down. But, yeah, history shows we did. But, yeah, he was outstanding. I mean, it's a good question. Who won Player of the Year that year?
What, the year we got relegated, 2001-2?
Yeah. Marcus Bent, him? Bent scored quite a few goals in that run, didn't he? Who would that have been? There's a question for you, Stat.
Well, let's have a look. We got the, I know that's the 2000-2001 team we went through earlier.
So that year we got relegated.
We're going to give it to Matt Holland?
Yeah, good shout. Yeah. We'll give it to him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ulrik Le Pen?
Probably not.
Yeah,
no, probably not.
But Sisto Peralta, there's many things I like about him. First of all, is that he had that continental flair.
He did.
Secondly, there are not many Ipswich players that have got an X in their name, which I also liked as well.
Love. Neil Alexander. Sorry.
Short sleeves and gloves, I remember him playing with as well.
Yeah, he loved the short sleeves and glove combo, didn't he? Yeah.
So, yeah, he'll be 40 and on the 16th. So, yeah, make sure at Mumo Peralta.
I shall look out for that stat. Mate, it was good this week. Do you know what I like about this week? We chose the games. It's a pretty good, I think, probably the best, one of the best we've done, cross-section of games across different eras.
Well, to be fair, would you say that the director had a cull on one of the games you wanted to go for, which was the 14th of April 1981, which...
people give me enough stick about this, but I will give this a quick shout. There was one game I could have done. It was, I mean, the away game at Villa that season, 80-81 after, you know, we'd been up to Villa Park 2 or 3 days before, got beat, heartbreakingly got beat by Man City in extra time. And yeah, this falls in this week. Famously went to Villa, which was billed at the time, and everyone thought it was at the time, you know, whoever won that game would be the title decider. And obviously we won. Brazil and Gates scored. I think Shaw scored a really good goal for them. But sadly, it didn't quite happen. But yeah, that was... I thought I'd done enough. I'd done enough games from 80-81. And I think Shaky and Green Door, this old house, was still number one. So I thought, now I've got to move on.
Did you have any number ones this week? I did, actually.
Yeah, and I forgot. So 1976, the Man United game stat.
It's not the year I was hoping you were going to go for, but yeah.
Okay, no, I'll go for 1977. But, How can I, oh dear. Here's a clue. Are you up your Eurovision song? It was a rare win for the UK in the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, Brotherhood of Man.
Yes, you know.
Hang on. I'm trying to think of the song. Save All Your Kisses for
Me. Oh, and I will start.
Oh, there you go. You set me up nicely there.
Look at that. And the next one, so the Liverpool game, April 2001. How can I put this? Another band that had won a competition. A televised competition.
Oh, right. Okay. So was it? Oh, I think I remember Liberty X.
No, similar though.
Similar. Not S. No. Oh.
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
One of the singers is now in a very famous soap opera.
Oh.
The most famous soap opera of them all, probably. Or the longest soap opera of them all. Set in Manchester.
I don't watch soap operas, but we're going to say Coronation Street, which is that much I know. And so somebody... What's the first letter of the name of the band?
H. H.
Oh. Ain't got a clue.
That's pure and simple, Stat. Come on.
Oh, Hearsay.
Kim Marsh in Corrie.
Is she in there?
Yeah, she's in Corrie, Kim Marsh.
One of the guys in Hearsay, didn't he look a bit like Shrek?
He did, unfortunately. I think he did, yeah.
I know the one now, yeah.
I can't remember his name. Was this the one you were thinking of? Was this one you're thinking of? A Length of April, 1992. This is a tune, absolute tune. It was number one for ages. I mean, not quite as long as Bryan Adams or Wet, 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 but it was number one for a couple of months.
Of April, 1992.
Good tune, mate. Yeah, yeah.
Throw some bone.
Throw some bone. It's not your brother, is your
mother? Oh, I thought it was rhyming. Sister.
Yeah, that's the second part of it. First one.
Shakespeare's sister.
Hey! Stay. That's a tune. Oh, stay, yeah. Stay, Shakespeare's sister. That is a tune.
One of them was in Bananarama.
That certainly was. And the last one, so it's an all-time classic. I think it was a remix, or certainly a reissue of Let's Get Ready to Rumble by Ant and Dec.
Well, technically they were PJ and Duncan back then, but there you go.
Okay, it was Ant and Dec. I think this was actually
you're on about the 2013 one.
Yeah, remix, mate. The remix, mate. Not the original PJ and...
Were they related?
Baker Groove.
PJ and Duncan, were they related to Ant and Dec?
I'm pretty sure they were. Second cousins? Something like that, I think.
You find things out. You know, when we finish the pod and stuff, and I go and speak to Mrs. Stat, and I kind of share with her your knowledge and stuff like that.
Really?
She soon walks out of the room, but there you go.
So nothing changes then. Nothing changes. Mate, enjoyed that this week. Again, I enjoy them all, but this was quite nice. It was a really good cross-section, I think. It will appeal to all our audience. Well, certainly it'll appeal to Jules and Ian anyway.
So next week, we'll do another one, and you're going to go from four from 1980 to 81. But if I can wrestle a few other seasons there, we're going to go into the business end of the season now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Trophies are going to be picked up. Teams are going to get relegated.
Finals are going to get lost. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Fantastic, mate. So a little bit of housekeeping. The next show, I believe Hang on, let me go. Where are we? So we're recording this on a Friday. The preview show with Rich Herron. I think Ben was on it this week. Ben
he was,
muscled
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
Muscled Very in good. This week. I think, yeah, it was good. That's out. I think that must be out today. The flagship show will be out on Sunday. I think I'm on it this week with Rich and Mikey, I think. I think Stats appearing on the flagship show coming up soon, I believe. I heard that rumour.
The week after, I think, yeah.
Week after. Stat, we can reach you Twitter-wise on... Well, everyone knows your Twitter.
Yeah, they know. They can soon find me, yeah.
You can find me at DavidDiamond3. If you've enjoyed it, please leave us a like and some kindly messages. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd be a first. No. we've had some great comments on Facebook.
I really have. Some really nice comments, I think, last week. I think that really struck a chord. Certainly the 78 semi-final struck a chord with a lot of our older a lot of our more mature listeners out there. I think that really stuck a chord with them.
Experienced. I'd prefer to call
experienced is
you never
good,
know. Yeah. Some of them could have had a bit of a shady past, so you got to be experienced, you know.
Experienced. There you go. There you go. Brilliant, mate. Looking forward to the game tomorrow. Stat, if you sat behind, well, we've already had this conversation. If you stick behind tomorrow after the game, and if you wait a good good few minutes after the game, maybe going into like an hour or so, Stat will be the last man sitting down with his head in his hands in the Sir Ralph Lower, won't you, Stat?
I will, yeah. I'm going to do it
is
long enough.
Is that kind of your protest or not? Is that like a silent protest or?
No, it's just me being an attention seeker. I'm just going to sit there. Yeah, I know. I'm just going to sit there. Hopefully, well, probably for about an hour. Not sure whether I'm going to cry. Crying might be too much, but I certainly might kind of mutter and shake my head a little bit. And hopefully get picked up on Sky Sports News.
I think it could be a strange old atmosphere down there tomorrow. Because I know people have said, and I've been amongst those people, have said, oh, yeah, you know, let's just get it over with. We've all accepted it. It's going to happen. But when it absolutely, when that trap door finally opens and closes, mate, I reckon it'll be some somber reflection, I reckon. Yeah, sad day. It will be a sad day.
Do you think that... In typical Ipswich Town fan style, that the fans might start falling out with each other, that, you know, some people have this, let's embrace it and, you know, sing songs and enjoy it.
I'm not one of them, I've got to say. Look, I think it's great and I think it's brilliant and I think the away support have been brilliant, but, mate, I'm not with one of them. I'm really not. I honestly think, and I hope I'm wrong, but if people think we're going to go down next season and it'll be a cakewalk in League One, I think... And I really hope I'm wrong, that we might be in for a nasty surprise. But look, there's a lot between now and the close season, who he gets in, you know, who knows. But I don't think it's going to be that straightforward. But
No, I'm with you. I think, you know, I'll have a little look over my shoulder as I walk down the steps at the pitch and think, that's it, relegation. You know, we will have an R against our name. So
yeah, anyway, man, yeah.
Let's finish on a high. So you were going to promise that you were going to sing the verse of and the chorus of Three Little Birds for us.
I really wasn't, and I'm really not. I can't bring myself to that. Anyway, mate, brilliant. Enjoy tonight.
Yeah, cheers,
and hopefully
Dave.
Catch up next week. Cheers, Dan.
Take care.
Bye. From back to Stewart. Oh, he turns to defend sweetly. Round the goalkeeper and scores a magnificent goal at the top end.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.